given the short amount of time that we have left today, I wanted to complete our discussion of protecting groups, because I was looking over the syllabus, and we have managed to pretty much catch up to where we needed to be by this point in the quarter. We're still going to do another workshop potentially next week, so some more synthesis practice, yes. We can't, because there's one similar enough to it in the next section's quiz that I can't discuss it yet. Just in case in that 5 minutes in between you all communicate by telepathy. So maybe over the weekend I'd throw it up or something so that you all could know before Monday. But what I'd like to do is finish off with the protecting groups, because we have so far covered THP, and we've covered acetals, and yes. No, it is moved to Wednesday, so I need to change that on the website. I apologize, I haven't done that yet. But no, to buy myself some more time and yourself some more time, the lab exam is on Wednesday, because I need to review on Monday for it. I don't ever do a lab exam without reviewing, so we got to review on Monday. Yes? It's going to be over those labs up through the Greenyard lab. 1, 2, 3, and 4. Yes, so if you want to start studying, labs 1, 2, 3, and 4. All right. Now, so there's one more type of protecting group we need to cover, and I guess it should be obvious that if we're talking about protecting groups yet again, that you're going to have protecting groups on the exam. That's one of the major things I didn't put on the quiz, because I thought that truly would have been kind of tough at this point. We've seen a protecting group for aldehydes and ketones. We've seen a protecting group for alcohols. I want to show you another common form of protecting group used for alcohols. And your book actually has this protecting group, or a variation of this protecting group in it, and it's the formation of what is known as silyl ethers. So the version that your text has is the TMS ether, which, don't get that confused with tetramethyl silane, which is our standard that we use in NMR. This is trimethyl silyl. This is very close in form. And what it is, trimethyl silyl chloride is the reagent that's generally used. And when you react it with an alcohol, silicon chlorine bond is active enough that you're able to do, an SN2 style reaction, even if you just have the neutral alcohol. Now, if you're paying attention, you might notice, wait, aren't there a whole bunch of alkyl groups on the silicon? How can you do an SN2 with something that's got that much steric hindrance? Well, silicon's larger enough that you don't have the same form of steric crowding, so this reaction is able to take place. We have the regular form of deprotonation step afterwards. And if it weren't for the fact that we have a silicon there instead of a carbon, this would just be a regular old ether. But that's why it's called a silyl ether. That comes from the fact that SIH4 is called silane. So the ane ending is actually used for other atoms besides carbon. So we have phosphane, we called it phosphine, but that's another story. But you can have phosphane, silane, usually means add hydrogens to that particular element. So silicon can take 4, just like carbon, because it's in the same column of the periodic table as carbon. This particular protecting group is very widely used, but it has certain drawbacks in that it very easily reacts in both acidic and basic media. So a lot of care needs to be taken when using this protecting group. To show you what's often used instead, I want to do a slight variation. So let me back up. I'm sorry. Let me name this thing again. This is a trimethylsilyl ether. So in fact, this can be abbreviated TMS, trimethylsilyl. The one that we're going to normally use in problems is TBDMS, which stands for tert butyl dimethyl silyl. So we use TBDMS chloride, which looks like this. The greater steric hindrance slows down its decomposition in at least in acidic environments. The T-butyl group. That T-butyl group making it a little bit sterically more crowded around the silicon does make it less reactive enough. It better survives acidic media. Not very acidic, but makes it easier to handle in real life. Let me make that a side note here. In fact, the way that's normally expressed is that it's less prone to hydrolysis, water breaking it up when you don't want it to. To form a TBDMS ether, it's the same type of process. You just throw an alcohol at it. So if I wanted to write out synthetically, I could write it like this. And since I've shown the structure of the reagent once, it is fine for you to abbreviate it afterwards. Now, how do we use this protecting group? Well, silyl ethers are usually stable in strong basic solutions up to a certain extent. But even the more protected ones don't stand up that well to acidic conditions. But if we wanted to do a Grignard reaction, for example, and I think this is exactly the example that your textbook uses, is where a silyl ether is used. We could take a difunctional molecule. For example, a halogenated alcohol, one which the halogen and the OH group are not necessarily right next door to each other. If we use TBDMS chloride, which we can abbreviate it TBDMSCl, we'll make the silyl ether which means we've masked the fact that it's an alcohol. It's an ether, not an alcohol. So it's kind of like using the DHP in that we end up with only ether-style functionality. Throw this into magnesium and ether, then we'll make a Grignard reagent. We could then throw it whatever substrate we wanted to. Just to have shown another example of this, I'm going to throw it at an epoxide. Grignard reagents will attack at the less sterically crowded position. Notice that I've got three carbons, so I'm going to make sure that if I'm attacking a three-carbon epoxide with a three-carbon Grignard reagent, that I've got six carbons total shown. And of course, we still have that silyl ether at the end of the molecule. If I were to use dilute H+, this is the advantage of TBDMS. The TMS group that I showed first would be more likely to decompose even in these slightly acidic conditions. The TBDMS could withstand it so that you could retain that functional group, which why would you want to do that in this case anyways? Well, we currently have an alcohol and a protected alcohol in the same molecule. What if we wanted to be able to do something to this alcohol that's exposed? Well, by keeping the protecting group on there, we keep that other alcohol still hidden. So you could do something on this now formed alcohol without hurting the protected alcohol. In truly something that's a more sophisticated reaction, what if we use DHP to protect that new alcohol? Because there's a reagent that could be used to remove the TBDMS group without affecting a THP group. And that is the molecule TBAF. Which, of course, is immediately obvious what that is, right? Tetrabutyl ammonium fluoride.
What?
I'm joking. Which you might recognize as a quaternary ammonium salt. Exactly what the mechanism is, I'm not sure. Most texts, first year texts at least, don't show it. It must involve the fluoride somehow. I'll try to look this up, see if I can find us a good mechanism. But it's a way of removing that TBDMS group without affecting other protecting groups. But this is just another example of protecting group synthesis being used in a Grignard reaction. Now, notice that in all the examples we've done so far, I think, it's been Grignards. But in one case, we protected a ketone that was on the same molecule as what we wanted to make a Grignard reagent from. And in this case, same thing, except it's an alcohol that's on the same molecule that we were trying to protect and make a Grignard reagent. Any questions on this example? Yes?
So that means the TBDMS and the TMS, so they are leaving because of specific reagents, but not of the good leaving group as here.
Right. It's they're not really leaving groups. It's just that this TBAF happens to be able to react with it. The other way you can get rid of a silyl ether is just to hydrolyze it, which means to put it in acid and water. So if you had a TMS group, for example, and just show H plus in water, it'll make an alcohol. And again, the reason I didn't do this up above is to show two things. In the case of TBDMS, it's less reactive, so you can get away with the dilute H plus. And then the other reason is what I mentioned before, that what if we had contrasting protecting groups and we wanted to remove one and not the other? So that's what TBAF would be used for. Other questions? We have a, yes? The significance of it, it's another way of... Oh, synthetic utility. It's a protecting group for alcohols. So it does the same purpose as DHP. And in fact, in some cases, it's interchangeable which approach you might want to take. In real life, DHP is a lot cheaper. TBDMS chloride, it's a solid, it's easy to handle, but it's expensive. When I was in grad school, it was like $1 a gram. Whereas DHP is a much, much cheaper liquid. But there'd be applications where you couldn't use DHP, where you might be able to get away with using TMS or TBDMS. There's a book that has nothing but all kinds of different functional groups and all the different contrasting environments that they can. Did I do something wrong? No. I have the sneaky suspicion I'm going to discover something I did later. Anyways, there's one last reaction I barely got time to show you, but just to make sure that we're complete. It's one more functional group that comes from the reaction of aldehydes and ketones. And it's often one that's used to introduce the whole idea of cationic versus anionic reactions with carbonyl compounds. And this is a cyanohydrin. So cyano coming from cyanide, the CN group, hydrin coming from water. So it's hydrin, but that's not water in this case, it's hydrogen. There is an acidic version of this and a basic version of this. So HCN, I'm sorry, no, it is a water type situation because we're going to end up with an OH group. Mechanism-wise, protonate, open attack, deprotonate. So hydrogen ketone gets protonated. We could draw a resonance structure. And actually, no, I'm sorry, it's not protonate, open attack, deprotonate, because we're not using a protic material to attack, because once the hydrogen from the hydrogen cyanide dissociates, it's an anion. So it's a small variation on the mechanism, but still effectively a cationic reaction. Yes? Yes, so here are my brackets. Then the basic version, so this is acid. Base version would be use sodium cyanide. Which initially gets us an alkoxide. I'm just realizing I can't recall the next step of how to stabilize that. So I guess that's where we'll pause, and we'll come back over the... What page? Magic. Yes. No, that's not a legitimate reagent in synthesis. But we'll just finish this off on Monday, I guess.